The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention changed its testing guidelines on Monday. It now says asymptomatic people who've been in contact with someone infected with COVID-19 don't necessarily need a test. That change drew backlash from some medical groups, including the American Medical Association, and it prompted the CDC's director to clarify the revision. It comes as the number of tests processed in Wisconsin and nationwide has fallen in the past week. A doctor joins us now to talk about when we should get tested, what's happening with COVID-19 treatments, and to answer your questions. You can call in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about COVID-19? Are you wondering when it's smart to get tested? Maybe you're on the fence about going to social gatherings or need some clarification on how to stay safe. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Jeff Podhoff is the Chief Quality and Safety Officer for UW Health. Dr. Podhoff, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Let's start with those CDC guidelines. The CDC revised guidance to say people who've been exposed to someone with COVID-19 don't automatically need to get a test if they don't show symptoms. CDC Director Robert Redfield later said that everyone who needs a test can still get one, and the guidelines were meant to put an emphasis on testing symptomatic people. What do you make of this shift by CDC?
Yeah, when we saw this recommendation, it needs to be taken with a grain of salt. So from the technical perspective, if you had close contact with someone who was diagnosed with COVID-19, close contact meaning, 15 minutes, closer than 6 feet from them, you wouldn't have to get tested. But, the technicality of that is if you don't get tested, you need to isolate, quarantine at home for 14 days and not go out in public, have people bring you your food and things like that. That's largely impractical for most people. And if people trying to take that pathway would find themselves having to cheat to go get groceries or things like that, that would be somewhat problematic. Now, on the other hand, if you have a close contact and exposure to COVID-19 and you're able to get the test 3 to 5 days later, you're back in business, whether it be going to work, going to the grocery store, leading a normal life, in just a couple days. So although technically you don't have to get tested if you're able to quarantine for that long, most of us are going to find it pretty impractical to quarantine that long and probably better to get that test when you're a close contact to kind of know for sure whether you're a risk to other people or not.
And that's because we're learning more about the role that asymptomatic people play in spreading this new coronavirus. What does that look like?
Yeah, the more we learn, the more it looks like asymptomatic people can clearly spread the disease. Now, they may not be quite as efficient spreaders as those people who have fevers and pretty objective symptoms, cough and things like that. But those people who have those real objective symptoms, fever and cough, are likely concerned that they have the disease. They're probably staying home. The problem with asymptomatic carriage is really there's nothing to tip you off that you might have the disease. You're likely to be out there in public doing what you need to do, going to work. And that's really where these mask mandates come in, because you just can't know if you're asymptomatic and have the disease or not.
Well, the CDC director, as I mentioned, said everyone who needs a test can still get one. That's not necessarily true nationwide. I mean, I know people in other states who have had exposure and haven't been able to get a test for COVID-19. What does the situation look like in our state?
Yeah, there's regional variation as far as test availability. If you take some place like Dane County or likely Milwaukee County, where there's a little bit more robust infrastructure for this kind of thing, it's not as hard to get a test. Here in Madison, if you don't have a primary care provider or can't get tested within a health system, we have the Alliant Energy Center open. People can get tested there. But as you look across the landscape in different communities, it may be difficult to still find someone who can order that test, maybe difficult to find a place where you can go to get that test. Even though we would like to be able to test as many people as we could who've got symptoms, who may have been exposed, I think in different parts across the United States, it can still be logistically quite difficult for people to figure out how to get a test done.
We're talking with Dr. Jeff Podhoff, who's the Chief Quality and Safety Officer for UW Health, and we're talking about the latest recommendations when it comes to COVID-19 and testing, and we're taking your questions at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about the current status of COVID-19 and testing? Do you have questions about symptoms of this coronavirus or how we're treating it? You can call now at 800-642-1234. Dr. Podhoff, what should someone consider when they are thinking about getting tested for COVID-19?
Yeah, I think the most important thing to consider is if you have symptoms. And symptoms can be a broad range of things. But, you know, what we're probably going to see are people are going to have a fever. They're going to notice that they have a fever. If there isn't a good reason for a fever, you don't have something else that explains why you're having a fever, it's not unreasonable to get a test for COVID-19 at that point. People with unexplained shortness of breath, that would be another, symptom that would make us curious as to whether or not you have COVID-19. So those people who have symptoms that they can't explain, you know, we're getting into fall allergy season. There's some people who are going to have allergies to ragweed, and that might be, you know, an itchy throat and runny nose. If it's your classic ragweed or fall allergy symptoms, you might not need a test. But if you're otherwise having, you know, symptoms of a cold, a good idea to get tested. Now, you know, the next group of people who would make sense to get tested is if public health contacted you and said, hey, you know what, like we've been doing some contact tracing, so-and-so who you know, who you were in contact with, was tested positive. They probably wouldn't give you the name, but they'd say, hey, you know what, we recommend that you get a test, you know, 2, 3, 4 days from now. Those people whom public health contacts and gives you the heads up that you might have been exposed, that's a good person to get tested. And then I think third would be people who know that they've had a close exposure to someone, or someone who participated in an activity where they could have been easily exposed to someone, maybe in close contacts, unmasked, not socially distanced, i.e. if I had gone to the motorcycle rally in Sturgis and had been in some of these locations where we know there were some spreading events, I'd be concerned, and getting a test there is good. I think on the flip side, people who don't need a test are probably those who are just curious. Testing resources are still limited, so if you've had no exposure and you've had no symptoms and you're just curious, that might not be the best use of a limited resource.
And so the limited resources, and yet if you have had one of those levels of exposure, you shouldn't feel bad about getting a test, because this is about trying to stop the spread.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you have symptoms or you were exposed, really getting tested is one of our most useful weapons in the battle against COVID-19, because people who are tested, who then test positive, if we can know that before you're able to go out in public and infect more people, that is one of the ways that we get on top of this, is understanding who has it, who needs to stay home, and who doesn't have it. And with COVID-19, that's tricky because of this asymptomatic carriage of it, where people could be passing it, but not necessarily have symptoms. So if you're in a high-risk group, definitely get tested. Don't feel bad about that. We want you to get tested. That's how we get ahead of it.
And we are taking your calls at 800-642-1234 as we talk with Dr. Jeff Potthoff here. And we've got Donis, who is driving through Wisconsin. Hi, Donis.
Hello, this is Dennis.
Hi, Dennis. Thank you so much for that clarification. What are you thinking about with COVID-19?
Well, as us truck drivers have been driving from day one of the coronavirus, why hasn't there been a mass testing of all truck drivers to make sure that we're safe and we're not spreading the COVID-19?
Interesting. Dennis, thanks for that question. And Dr. Potthoff, what I hear there is that if Dennis hasn't been tested, Dennis probably doesn't have symptoms and doesn't have a confirmed exposure. So Dennis doesn't fit any of the categories we've talked about. And yet Dennis has done a lot of traveling and a lot of seeing different people.
Yeah, so individuals like Dennis are those who maybe do have high exposures, or more contact with people. If they don't meet the testing criteria, it's still probably not a good use of that limited resource to do kind of broad-scale asymptomatic surveillance testing. But what is really important is that people like Dennis, who are coming in contact with a lot of individuals, really think about how they can stay masked and how they can stay distanced, because a certain percent of them might be that asymptomatic group. But because they're such a large group, and because you can't really know where they would have got it from, it's unlikely that public health is going to be able to identify them in like a breakout, an outbreak, and tell them to get tested. So as long as they're not having symptoms and they stay masked and they stay distanced, we're going to be okay.
All right, Dennis, take those precautions then. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. We're talking with Dr. Jeff Potthoff, who is the Chief Quality and Safety Officer for UW Health. We're talking about what's happening with COVID-19 in Wisconsin and nationwide. Taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Are you curious about how COVID-19 is being treated or handled from a public health standpoint? Maybe you have questions about symptoms or about transmission or how we get this under control. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, taking your calls now as the conversation continues here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking with Dr. Jeff Potthoff, who's Chief Quality and Safety Officer with UW Health, and we're discussing the latest developments with COVID-19. Taking your questions at 800-642-1234. Are you debating whether you need a test? Do you have questions about socializing or gatherings or how this virus spreads? There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. And we've got Jean from Fort Atkinson on the line. Hi, Jean.
Hi. I am calling because I just wanted to mention that I have a friend who lives in Milwaukee County, and her husband had symptoms. So Dale went in and he got tested, and then it came back negative. So they said, well, can everybody in his household be tested? And they said, well, if you want to go and wait in line, you know, in the car, yes, you are welcome to be tested, but we don't follow up tests here at the clinic that they were at. So I just think that makes it a little harder for you to track people who live in the house, because a lot of people don't want to go and sit in the car for a couple hours in order to be tested if they feel fine.
Yeah, Jean, thanks for that experience. I know the testing does, the time of it, especially at those centers, varies greatly. I know we had to get my brother a test, and it took us maximum 10 minutes there. But Dr. Potthoff, I wonder what you hear in Jean's story about someone getting a negative test and then not really being able to accommodate testing the whole household at a clinic.
Right. So I think what you're finding, or what we're finding, is that, you know, health systems do have testing. Most health systems will have the ability to test, but their resources for testing are still somewhat limited. So it's not that they're necessarily running out, but they certainly don't have an overabundance of tests. So what you're finding is healthcare systems are typically testing those people who have symptoms, you know, the highest yield group to get tested, or potentially those people who had a close exposure, public health potentially contacted them, said, hey, you should get a test. Health systems will test those people. For people who don't have any symptoms, and it's just kind of this surveillance, let's see if we potentially have it. The state testing sites and the county testing sites have been able to accommodate that to date. And that's why I think you're seeing this change in guidance from the clinics themselves, saying, if you have symptoms, we can test you. But if you're asymptomatic or other people have tested negative and now your risk is very low, please utilize the county and state sites. Now, on the backside, when someone does test positive, that does get to public health. So even though it seems like that's a bit disjointed, behind the scenes, that usually gets connected once that test turns positive, if it does.
All right. Thanks for that answer, Dr. Potthoff. We've also got Bonnie in Lake Geneva who is ready to talk with us. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi. My question has to do with whether my husband should have an antibody test. We were traveling home from Europe at the beginning of March, and right after that, he developed a strange set of symptoms. He had flushing intermittent with heaviness in his chest, and eventually the flushing went away, but the heaviness in the chest has lingered on. He's had a myriad of tests. Nothing shows any serious problems. He was finally diagnosed with post-viral bronchial, spasms or something. And he is getting a lot better, but it's been a frustrating experience. And I think he would just feel better to know, you know, if in fact that could have was COVID.
Yeah, Bonnie, let me jump in here quick because I want to make sure Dr. Potthoff has a chance to respond, because Dr. Potthoff, I know you can't give medical advice over the phone, but is an antibody test something that Bonnie and her spouse should look into?
Well, I think Bonnie kind of answered it there when she said he would feel better if he knew, and that would be the indication for an antibody test. You know, at this point, as a physician, if we knew that her husband was positive, there wouldn't necessarily be anything to do differently. We wouldn't change treatment, but there might be peace of mind that comes from knowing, was this COVID-19 or was it not? So that's something you can talk about with your healthcare provider. I know there's been some changes to the CARES Act where sometimes these antibody tests can be a little bit more difficult to get covered by insurance, but that would be the real reason to do it at this point, would really be for the peace of mind.
And the antibody test will tell us, in theory, if the body has already fought off that infection or is doing that.
Exactly. It looks for the antibodies that would say, yes, someone was exposed at a previous time, at least 14 days ago, but probably much longer ago, to the coronavirus.
Let's also talk about this FDA issuing an emergency use authorization for plasma. Dr. Jeff Potthoff is the chief quality and safety officer for UW Health. And this EUA, this emergency use authorization for plasma from people who've recovered from COVID-19 to be used as a treatment in current patients, the Health and Human Services Secretary called it a milestone. Some researchers have pushed back on this, though. What should we think about when it comes to this plasma trial?
Yeah, this one got kind of complicated because when the FDA kind of released the emergency use authorization, you know, some of the statistics that we were hearing sounded unbelievable, you know, 35% reductions in mortality. What we know so far about convalescent plasma is there's some small studies that would suggest that it's safe. But I have to emphasize that these are small studies. There's not a lot of patients that have been in them. So that gives us as healthcare professionals a little bit of pause. Would a larger study show some sort of adverse event that we just haven't seen yet? And then the studies that showed benefit, they weren't the gold standard. What we really like to see in medicine are randomized, placebo-controlled, blinded studies. And these were more comparative studies. You know, there's something called the absolute risk reduction and the relative risk reduction. And when you're trying to sell something, you use the relative risk reduction, which sounds better. But the absolute reduction is probably the better thing to look at. And that was showing a 3 to 4% benefit towards plasma, but in this comparison study. So things look good for convalescent plasma, but it certainly is not the golden key. It is not a miracle treatment by any means. And we do need to understand how it works a little bit better before we get really liberal with how we use it. Mm.
We are talking with Dr. Jeff Potthoff about COVID-19 and all of the latest information about it as science gives us more information about this new coronavirus. And we've got Libby in Madison who wants to join the conversation. Hey, Libby.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
So I have a six-week-old infant that we just welcomed. And, of course, this is a time that a lot of family and friends want to share in our happiness and see her. And I'm just wondering about recommendations for that.
All right. Congratulations, Libby. And Dr. Potthoff, what about being around newborn babies?
Yeah, I was going to say congratulations, but as far as newborn babies go, so what we know within the pediatric population is that newborns, if they do get sick, tend to have hospitalization rates that are similar to adults. They tend to fare better, but they are a group of people that are a little bit higher risk. So as far as having visitors over, I would be a little bit hesitant to invite any kind of large number of people over to see the new infant. Now, there might be ways that you can be creative and still share in that experience without potentially putting anyone at risk. And whether that's virtual visits, whether you do that very socially distant, you know, if you had folks over to the house on one side of your driveway and you guys are on the other side of the driveway, it's not the same as snuggling up to a new baby, but allows them to see it, allows you to kind of share that experience, but at the same time, not really take any risk with your new family member.
All right. Hope that helps then. Let's also bring in Larry from Crawford County. Hi, Larry.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'm just calling about what seems to be all the confusion. It's just so hard to get your head around, even by the, I guess, by the county health people. In our particular case, my grandson, who's 22 years old, living with me. I'm 76 years old. He's home from college, whatever, you know. He was exposed twice within like a two-day period by people who then tested positive. Okay. So we found out about this like 4 or 5 days later. We called the county health people here, explained the situation to them. They still did not, they would not send him to be tested at our local hospital here. They said, well, you could go see your primary doctor, which he really doesn't actually have here in town. It was just really frustrating.
Larry, I'm sorry to hear that. Dr. Potthoff, what should Larry's grandson do now? Assume that he's been exposed or try to get some sort of test? Where do we go from here if that was Larry's experience?
Yeah, this is, you know, similar to what we were talking about earlier, where logistically it can be very difficult for some people in some parts of the state to get tested. So in this situation, it sounds like Larry's son was potentially exposed. So ideally, we'd like to get a test in 3 to 5 days. If we can't get a test, the correct answer would be to isolate for those 2 weeks. What you're finding is, you know, going to a hospital emergency department or a hospital for a test, when we're just doing the screening to see if someone might have it after an exposure, typically doesn't work that well because those hospitals are limited in supplies and they're looking to test mostly those symptomatic people. Sometimes you can get that done if you have a primary care provider, but if you don't, now you're typically relegated to looking for a county-sponsored testing facility, either in your county or another county, and that can be sometimes pretty difficult to iron out, especially if you're not sure what to do. So I think this is just a good example where even though we'd like to have testing available for everyone, sometimes it just doesn't work out that well for some people who find themselves in this situation.
All right, Dr. Potthoff, a lot to cover here. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, you bet.
Dr. Jeff Potthoff is the Chief Quality and Safety Officer for UW Health. And we've talked about who should get tested for COVID-19 and some of the challenges with that and when people should get tested and also how the disease is spreading here in Wisconsin.